Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Nice to see you here. Some off sick. Well, we will be remembering them in prayer. We trust the Lord will strengthen them and lift them up and raise them up again. Now we're turning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll read the first two verses, which really contain the words that we're studying particularly. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Remember what I said about noting every word? And it seems that my eyes have just fallen upon the word "all." "Then drew near unto him all." That's very significant. Very significant. There wasn't one of the publicans who were men counted very sinful, worldly, no thought of God. But there wasn't one of them on that day, in this place here, that stayed apart. They didn't stand still when others drew near. They all went. And all the sinners, for I'm sure they're included in the use of that word "all." So there was a real moving to Christ, and there was nobody left behind. Everybody moved to Christ. Nobody left behind. Tell me, will you be left behind? I will plan to say at the end of our study today that all who will gather with Christ in heaven will first of all have gathered unto him here on earth. If you haven't come to Christ on earth, you will never go to be with Christ in heaven. So, as we see the picture of all the people drawing near, all of them, nobody left behind, make sure you're not left behind and that you draw near to the Lord Jesus. Then we'll read the rest of the two verses I want to read. Verse 2, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This was the complaint that these enemies, these critics of the Lord Jesus, were muttering. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That was their complaint. That's what they thought was wrong about the Lord Jesus. He received sinners and he ate with them. Now, I know we have been looking at these words on a number of occasions, and I'm always very conscious of the fact that when we come to a passage that we have read recently, we're inclined not to give it the attention that we should. We sort of say, "Oh, I've read that, so I'll skip over it," sort of thing. Now, exercise your mind and determine within your heart, "I'm going to look at these words as if for the first time. I'm going to pay attention to them, and I'm going to note what they say." So, this morning, in the will of the Lord, we'll go a little further, I trust, in our consideration of these words found in the two verses I've just read. And I want to emphasize today, if you remember, we have considered already what it was the Lord Jesus didn't do in order to gather people onto him, attract people onto him. He didn't put on any sort of a show. Then we noted what it was he actually did do. He drew them to himself through his words. His words. You see, boys and girls, that's why I'm urging you to listen. Because it's the word of God that is the source of power that God uses to draw people to himself. This word. And I'm very conscious that it's by the preaching of this word that God works. That's how God works. Not by ceremonies and great shows. Worldly men in worldly churches, they love to dress up. I'm sure you've seen pictures of those who are prominent in the mainline churches, which by and large have departed from God. And they're all dressed up. Big long garments and chains and crosses and ornaments and scarves round their neck, all brightly coloured. And they feel that they have to do this. There's not one word in the Bible about adorning yourself in this fashion. The only ones that have done that are the pagan religion. And within Christendom today, where you see all this ornamentation worn by men and women, they're only copying the pagan religions. That's all it is. But the Lord Jesus didn't resort to any such tactics. He just preached. It was the words of his mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we considered what the Lord Jesus didn't do, we considered what he did do, and now we're going to consider the blessings that result from drawing near to Christ. What happened when people drew near to Christ? Well, they heard him, that's the first thing. But more than that, it appears from the complaint of these Pharisees and enemies, verse 2, he eateth with them. He eateth with them. So get the picture in your mind. Not only is the Lord speaking with them, but he's sitting down and sharing food with them. That's an important image to bear in your mind. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, I'm emphasizing the part about the eating with them, because in that you have a picture of what it is to be a Christian. What it is to be a Christian. Let me just quickly explain it. I'm not a member of your family. I don't live in your house. And at meal time, I don't sit down and eat with you. I don't sit down and eat with you. But if I were a member of your family, if I was part of your family unit, I'll be there eating with you at every meal. So you have a picture here of how the sinners that came to hear the Lord Jesus were treated by him like family. Isn't that important? If you have come to Christ, if you have believed his word and obeyed it, then you're being treated by him as a member of his family. He looks on you as a son or a daughter. He looks on you as a brother or a sister. This only comes to my mind now. I'll remind you, I'm sure some of you at least will be familiar with an incident when the Lord was speaking to a crowd and somebody came in and said, your mother and your brethren are outside, they want to talk to you. And the Lord Jesus said a strange thing. He said, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And I'm sure the person who brought that message sort of scratched her head. Surely he knows who his mommy is. But the Savior, after he said that, pointed to all the people who were listening to him. And he said, these are my mother, these are my brethren, these are my sisters. You see, all who obey the Lord, trust his word, they're his family. They're his family. And this eating with the sinners was a family gathering. That's very important. Let's learn then, first of all, that the Lord Jesus welcomes sinners. He welcomes sinners. You may have heard that with the COVID pandemic, one of the consequences of it, it's very difficult to see the doctor. In fact, it's almost impossible to see the doctor. But it wasn't hard to see the Savior. When the sinners came to him, he had time for them. He didn't sort of go down a line and say, right, what's wrong with you here? No, he didn't handle them in that fashion. But those who came to him, he had time to sit down and eat with them. Oh, how welcoming, boys and girls, is the Lord Jesus. You see, sinners drawing near to him was exactly what he wanted. Oh, the Pharisees and the scribes, they thought, oh, this is a disgusting thing. He receives sinners. But in the eyes of God, it was a wonderful thing. We started off in our very first comments on this passage with the thought that how far is man in his thinking from God? In his thinking. That which annoyed and grieved and vexed and probably disgusted the Pharisees and the scribes, Christ rejoiced in. Sinners coming to him. It was what he wanted. It's what he had come to accomplish. This man receiveth sinners. It's what he wanted. He wanted sinners to come to him. It was the great purpose of his coming to seek them out. He came to seek them out. He makes himself available to seeking sinners. That's a marvelous thing. I mentioned the doctors. Well, with all the restrictions, they're just not available as once they were. But whether things change on this earth and circumstances change, whether it's peace or war, whether it's summer or winter, it doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus makes himself available to sinners. I know the stories that I have heard in my lifetime of men on the battlefield who asked the Lord to save them. and he saved them. Indeed, there's a man with connections very close here to Kilskerry, whose daughter told me about how her father, during World War II, when, if I recall right, a shell fell very close to him, when he fell down on his knees and he asked the Lord to save him, and the Lord saved him. So they're on the battlefield, where very likely, if that man had been injured by that shell, there wouldn't have been a medical officer there to help him. The Lord was there. Because, boys and girls, he makes himself available. He's here today. He's here today. That's why when we gather to worship and listen to God's word, we should behave in the very best manner, because the Lord is here. The Lord makes himself available to seeking sinners. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 11, if you like to turn back a few pages. Luke chapter 11, the verse 9. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Doesn't that show how we can get into the very presence of God? It's simple. We ask, we seek, we knock. The way you do at a door, and we'll gain entrance. I think we should notice that there's a progression here, as it were. Ask, seek, knock. There's a persistence shown by the sinner who would know the Lord's blessing. A persistence. Sometimes the Lord doesn't respond immediately because he wants to know, do they really want my blessing? Or is it just a momentary notion? Well, if I don't answer right away, we'll see if they persist. Because if they persist, well, that indicates they're really in earnest. And that verse, I think, suggests that to us. Then secondly, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus not only welcomes sinners, but he receives them personally. This man receiveth sinners. It'd be wonderful when we seek the Lord sent an angel. We'd count that a wonderful response. But the Lord doesn't send an angel. He comes himself. If you go to the home of the Queen, Buckingham Palace, if she were in residence there, and knocked the door, who would open it? The Queen? No. Some butler would open it. And you probably would have the greatest difficulty to actually get to see the Queen. But when you knock on the door, the Lord opens it. He answers. He takes you by the hand. He leads you in. Not a butler. Not an angel. You see that? What a privilege, boys and girls. What a privilege is granted to poor sinners who seek the Lord. Some time ago we studied in the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 5, the verses 30 to 33, of the woman who had the issue of blood. And when she had heard about how the Lord was able to heal, she came in the crowd. Now she was frail and weak because for years, 12 years, she had suffered from this ailment, and she was getting weaker and weaker every day until, I would say, she was very close to death, when she found it possible to draw near to Christ. And all she planned to do was not to speak to him, but just to touch the hem of his garment. For she says, if I do, I know I'll be healed. That's the faith she had in Christ. Just the touch of his garment would bring her healing. And she crept through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and instantly she was healed. And she knew in her body, when the Lord blesses you, you know about it. But he also knew, somebody has just touched my clothes. And he turned round and he said, who touched me? And all that was in order that he might have a personal encounter with the woman. Because she came now, probably frightened, and she fell at his feet and she told him everything. I imagine that with great tenderness, he said to her, don't be frightened. Your faith has made you whole. We don't read any more details, but I'm sure I don't do wrong in imagining the Lord reaching down, picking her by the arm, helping her to her feet, speaking other words to her, because the Lord Jesus receives sinners personally. Have you come to him? Has he talked to you? Has he received you personally? The emphasis on the Savior's personal relationship with his people is emphasized in many places in the Bible. There's a very famous portion, I'm sure you all know it, in John chapter 14. That's the chapter in which you have the words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a very famous passage. But a couple of verses in front of that verse 6 that I've just quoted, the Saviour said this, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Notice the personal touch here. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I have finished preparing the place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you, so that where I am, you will be also. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus receives sinners personally. It's a wonderful personal encounter with the Lord. Personal encounter with the Lord. There's another verse that has to do with the return of Christ. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 16. And it says this, listen to it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that little word, himself, when the Lord Jesus comes again in power and glory, there will be thousands and thousands of angels with him. But it's he himself that will be coming for us. He himself. When the Lord ascended to heaven and the apostles were gathered there on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem, he went up to heaven and the disciples were all standing watching as he was received into a cloud. And an angel spoke and said, Why are ye gazing up into the cloud? This same Jesus shall come again. He's coming again. And it's the one who ate with the sinners and the publicans that's coming. It's the one who wrought all the wonderful miracles. It's the one, if you're saved this morning, saved you. He's coming again. And he's coming. And you know, his eye will be there on you, looking for you. That's the strange and marvelous thing about it all. You're never lost in the crowd when it comes to our dealings with the Lord. He deals with us individually, personally. Then again, one more thought. This man receiveth sinners, and the word means receive unto himself. That's what the word means. This man receives unto himself and eateth with them. And that suggests to me that the Lord Jesus, when he receives sinners, not only welcomes them, not only receives them personally, but he receives them permanently. Have you ever seen a picture, and I'll refer to the Queen again, have you ever seen a picture of the Queen or any member of the royal family visiting an area? Well, you will find there's a set of railings and all the crowd are behind it. And the Queen will slowly walk down on the other side of the fence and nod and wave her hand at everyone. And that's it. Sometimes little ones will reach over a bouquet of flowers, and maybe the Queen will take it, but immediately she will hand it to a lady in waiting, and then she'll move on. And people will have the memory of the Queen just passing by. Perhaps looking at them and their eyes met, but she couldn't have looked at everybody in the crowd, so there are very few have that memory. All they saw was the Queen walking slowly past. But that's not the memory we have of meeting Christ. He didn't just walk past us and wave his hand. It's suggested to us here that when a sinner meets the Lord Jesus, it's a permanent, a lasting relationship. The Saviour sat down and he ate with those who came to him that day. It's a lasting relationship that's set up. It's as if he has them take up residence with him and enjoy fellowship with him. There's a lovely verse in the last book of the Bible, chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. Now, don't get caught up in looking, but rather listen. Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 20. The Saviour is speaking to a church the Church of Laodicea, which is today in Turkey. At least that's where the location would be. There's nothing left of the church there in Laodicea today, as far as I know, but it's in Turkey. Unto this church, way back in the first century, John was instructed to write this letter. And at the end of the letter, you have in verse 20, the Savior says to the church at Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." That word sup is an old word. It's not used too much today, but it really means I'll partake of food. I'll eat with him. And there you have this same image of the Savior eating with men and women, speaking of the relationship that is lasting. It's lasting. The postman comes to your house many times. He might say, "Hello, good morning, nice day," and all the rest of it, and off he goes. He doesn't sit down and have a meal, because it's only a fleeting relationship. But the Lord Jesus, when he knocks at the door, he comes in and he takes up residence with you. As I've mentioned already, eating of the meal, it speaks of the family. If you were to go to a cafe, and I'm sure you have been with Mum and Dad, and you're sitting at the table with Mum and Dad and the rest of the family, and they look around you and there's a group there and there's a group there and there's a group there. Now, every one of those groups, they're made up of families or friends. They're not individuals who came in, sat down, and then another stranger came in and sat down beside them, and yet another. That doesn't happen unless the place is crowded out and there are no seats. And if that does happen, the strangers sitting together at a table eat their food and they never say much to one another, because they're strangers. But if you look round where the families are gathered or the friends are gathered, they're gabbling away and talking and laughing and enjoying one another's company. That's how it is with Christ. When we get saved, we begin to eat with him, live as a family with him, and enjoy his company. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The first verse says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners." Have you drawn near to Christ? Have you? As he has stood in our midst, in our assembly meetings, have you, like the lady, have you reached out and taken hold of his garment and say, "Lord, remember me, have mercy on me"? That's what the thief on the cross did, you know. He realized that in the wonderful, wonderful, merciful providence of God, here he was dying, a guilty, guilty man, and he was dying beside the Savior. He was in reach of God's Savior. Couldn't touch him with his hands, for his hands were nailed, likely above his head. But he could speak, and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Don't forget me." And the Lord didn't. You know that man's in heaven today. And if by the mercy of God you and I get there, we'll be able to talk to him. We'll be able to talk to him. And he'll tell us about that day that he was received by the Lord Jesus. Remember what I said earlier. It's only those who receive Christ here on earth will be received by Christ in heaven. Have you received the Savior? Have you come near to him to hear his word? And has there begun in your life a wonderful relationship with Christ whereby you eat with him, hold fellowship with him every day? May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all our hearts today. Take care of each one of you. Let's bow in prayer then. Lord, bless the children. I pray that thy word will come to their hearts with telling power, and that this day any who have not yet received them will receive them and begin to feast upon the precious fruit of the gospel. Answer prayer, Lord. Answer prayer. Bless the school. Take care of it. Remember those who are at home sick today. Lord, be near them. Comfort them, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.